Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Flipping chilly now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really cold.
Chilly and William.
Really.
And miserable.
Bloody cold.
I had to de-ice my car windscreen two mornings ago. I had to scrape it and spray it with stuff.
The blue stuff.
Yeah, that is really cold on your hands because it's a metal aerosol can and... By definition, whenever you use it, it's been sitting in a car at -1.
Yeah.
So your hand falls off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like when you when I used to drive to work and you have to scrape it off and then all the ice goes on your hand and you just sort of have to grin and bear it. Grin and bear it.
It's grin and bear it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded wrong, but it felt
I think
right
it is grin and bear it.
Or just grit your teeth.
Yeah. Right. I just combined both of them.
We've got a scraper that has like a cloth. It's not like a full-on glove. It's just a big mitt thing.
Wow.
So when you hold the handle, a sort of fabric guard comes around your hand.
Mm.
So you don't get all that of your
hands. That's pretty exceptional. Mm.
So you get when you're married.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
those are the important purchases. Mm. Have you had to de-ice anything, Ashton?
Not recently, no. I don't have a car up here, so I haven't had to de-ice anything. I did have to walk to work when it was really icy, and there was one point where I was trying to like overtake a bunch of kids, like, because there's loads of teenagers walk the same way as I do to get to school, and they're walking really slowly, and I was like, I need to get to the metro, gotta go fast. Tried to walk around them and I thought, please God, don't slip over in front of these teenagers.
What would the boys say?
I would literally just go home and cry. Like, I was not prepared to be laughed at by
teenagers.
Are
you Ashton from Triple Jam?
Yeah.
You fell over.
No, it's not me.
You look so good at not slipping on ice on the YouTube.
Sometimes when I go out and I look proper scruffy, I think if anyone said to me, you Ashton from Triple Jump, I'd just put an accent on and say no. Like...
What accent would you...
I don't know. I'd probably just like start speaking fake French and then just...
Oh, this happens all the time. No. Who is this Ashton?
Yeah. But I was like looking proper scruffy in an Aldi recently, and I thought, if anyone comes up to me today, I was fully in my pajamas and I'm like, I'm not accepting that that's who I am.
I don't care what people think of me and what I wear. I wear pajamas outside sometimes, but they're joggers, yeah. So you know, it's a little more acceptable. Yeah. Well, this actually isn't our de-icing and pajama outside podcast. This is our video game podcast. Welcome along, everybody. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. Helps us keep the lights on. Is the spider here? I think
it's too cold for spiders now. It's probably gone into hibernation somewhere, because that's what spiders do, isn't
that's
it?
The story we've accepted.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's asleep.
Dead Island 2, the spider is
back
fine.
In the spring.
Oh, he took a trip home with Peter in his backpack.
Oh,
maybe.
That's
someone is like
nice
role-playing
thought.
As Dead Island 2, the spider in the comments of the podcast for the last few weeks. Yeah, and I've been really enjoying catching up with what they've been up to. In the
what
comments.
Have they been up to?
I think briefly, Dead Island took a trip away. And then I think actually they did say that Dead Island had gone home with Peter.
Oh, right, yeah.
To try
there
something
There is a
new.
Spider in my house. And it must be Dead Island 2. Mm. I didn't realise.
It's the only explanation.
So,
Peter, you've got the ad read in front of you.
I have. It's actually all in my head. But yeah, so there's a football happening at the moment.
Is it?
It's just started, oh, yeah.
Not heard anything about it.
Really?
And, well, there's a video game tie-in happening as well. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you knew about this. Yes. It's not FIFA. Get out of town. Who needs those? It's a special video game, football video game, starring all of your favorite footballers, such as Abe and Munchie. That's right. It's the Odd World Cup.
Brilliant.
Well, we've already done God of War like 2 weeks in a row. So what else has come out? Nothing. Odd World hasn't come out, but the World Cup is on.
I don't know why you're saying this, because it's real.
Because it's real.
I thought it was a good one. I don't know why you're acting like we said anything bad.
Right.
I was just trying to think of a pertinent question. Not even a comeback, just a question. I want to know more, like... is there lots of farts in the game and butts?
Yeah. You play as, what are they called?
Mum
Chops?
I don't know. I can't remember what they're called.
Mudlarks or something. Yeah, you play Skylarks, as one of those. Yeah.
Mudkips. Mm. One of those.
By the way, it's not real.
Oh,
who saw that coming?
Got you.
Does
that mean the World Cup isn't real?
If only.
It's on in our office every day.
Four matches a day.
First match that was put on TV was the England one.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, are we watching all the England matches? And I was like, okay, if that's what people want to do, that's fine. Now we're watching flipping...
Listen. Currently, it's Switzerland, Cameroon on in the office.
There is an office.
I really want to know who
wins.
To be fair,
I actually do have Switzerland in the
People have money in this race, and
I'm not going to win though. I've got rubbish teams.
As much as obviously the whole Qatar situation is horrible, I don't dislike watching football. So while I'm trying not to be distracted by it, I would rather have the World Cup on for 4 weeks than I would that short period where every single wrestling show was on every morning the night after it aired, because that was so distracting and so loud.
Well, what won't be good is if in the unlikely event that we start getting further and further along in the tournament and people get really, because in the first match I think everyone was like, we're probably going to win this. So no one was getting too excited,
right?
But if we get into like the quarters or the semis, and if we'll be working away, I'll be trying not to watch it and probably managing because I'm not that invested. But if we score, there will suddenly be loud roar of excitement in the office, which I won't enjoy.
Just noise, generally.
Just noise. It used to happen when I was a kid, like the local team that my brother supported would occasionally be televised. It wasn't really big enough to be on the TV that often, but it was depends who they were playing against. And it would be like 6 p.m., 7 p.m., I'd be trying to play PS2, and then suddenly out of nowhere there would be I was like, God, please, I'm just trying to chill out here.
Where I live, you can hear it when someone scores a goal in a football, regardless. It's usually on a Saturday when you know people are at home and games are on, and you just hear just echoing.
Sorry, football fans, like, you know, it's fine. You know, but
football's great, but also I just shush.
Yeah, just be quiet.
I wish it wasn't
on
in the middle of the day. You know, 10 a.m.'s too early to be excited about anything.
Yeah,
it is. Speaking of
except
which,
the podcast.
It's except podcast, the podcast time. Of course.
We're not sponsored by Abe's World Cup?
Odd World Cup.
That one. We're sponsored by wonderful patrons over at patreon.com, where for as little as $1 per month, you could submit questions to this podcast. There's loads of other bloody tiers available as well. Go check them out. patreon.com/teamtriplejump. There's also another huge piece of news that we need to get out of there right bloody now.
Right now.
Ashton Matthews.
It's 50% off on all merch on the store until the 2nd of December.
Yes, it is. There's a big Black Friday sale going on. Such a big Black Friday sale that it's a week 50% long.
Off.
50% off as well.
That's too much.
Everything.
Can someone cancel that, please? That's ridiculous.
And that's triplejumpshop.com.
Yes.
If you want 50% off merchy merches, go check them out. This included are the Is This Legs shirt and the Ashton Matthews pins, as well as everything else that's available in the store. Not this, because this was a limited item. That's the Barbara shirt. And not that, because
this is very old.
That's sort of day one merch.
I think this is still, though.
Yes, yeah, that hoodie is available.
I need a new one of those, actually.
Yeah, you've ripped the pockets off.
Yeah,
have
you? Yeah. It was me. It wasn't. It's not poor quality stitching.
He sits with his hands in his pockets too much.
No, that's not it.
It's
so stressful. Just put his fingers right through the end.
That's not the reason.
Like Wolverine.
It's because I wore it when moving my things into my house, and it got snagglepussed.
Your bulging biceps. Yeah,
that was it.
Like the Hulk. Yeah. So triplejumpshop.com, 50% off until the 2nd of December. Go and take advantage of that right now. I know it's payday soon for people, so. Grab yourself a bargain.
Christmas present or something.
Yes, a Christmas present. Mm. Question one, Peter.
Yep. It's from Nexus Polaris, who says, hey, Bap, pretend you win the lottery, at least $1 million each. Which physical games and consoles would you buy? Would you splurge on really rare and hard to find games and or consoles? Keys. Nexus.
Keys.
I mean, if I had $1 million, then yeah, I would definitely splurge on stuff that, well... The boring answer is I'd probably be quite sensible and not go mad. But if it's $1 million and you can spend it all on video game stuff,
you won the video game lottery.
Yeah,
I've won the video game lottery.
You have to spend it on video games.
Yeah, then fine. I definitely know the first thing I would buy would be a Spyro the Dragon 1 press kit.
Yeah.
They get listed on eBay. A couple of years ago, several of them were listed across the year and they were like $200 to $300. And I was like, a bit too rich for my blood. But I thought one day I'll be able to save enough just for that. And that's just on the edge of becoming absolutely ridiculous to spend on like one thing. Anyway, two have been listed this year. In fact, I think it was just someone bought one and then relisted it for a higher price. But they've been like $500. And I was like, no, I will never be able to buy one of those now. Because even if I had that money, it's just ridiculous to spend it on that.
Yeah.
So
it's precisely the problem I'm now having with Game Boys and Pokemon stuff. It's because the nostalgia is hitting really hard. So when I was buying those Game Boys, some of them were like 60, 70 quid in the box. And I thought that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
And now they're £200.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I'd get one of those. I'd probably try and get like various other press kits for games that mean something to me, or if there are any actual bits of development memorabilia out there, like actual concept art and stuff, that would be amazing to have for, I mean, all kinds of games that I'm into. And then in terms of consoles, I'm thinking of getting an N64 anyway, but I'd definitely get one if I won $1 million. All the games for it, because they're actually quite expensive because they're cartridges. They don't last as well as CDs, and so they're a bit rarer. And maybe I'd start to like go into Super Nintendo, like SNES area, which I don't have a lot of experience with. And I thought maybe that's something I would enjoy. So yeah, probably try. Like I've never owned a Dreamcast or various Sega consoles. So just put some feelers out and see what I like, I think.
Yeah.
What would you buy?
I think I'd be inclined to kind of upgrade all my current hardware, like my PC and my monitors, and like make that a much more enjoyable experience. Get a new chair, because the chair I have is really uncomfortable, but it costs a lot of money, so I can't get rid of it.
If you want to sponsor Ashton and send her a gaming chair.
Oh my God, I would literally love a new chair, because mine's so uncomfortable. It gives me bum ache. you know, it's just too hard.
Bummy ache.
Yeah.
I hate bum ache. Bum ache is the word. You get bum ache on buses, on planes, and in cinemas.
Yeah, exactly. If the chair's not comfy enough.
But not in the car, I find.
I get bum ache in the car. If I'm driving.
On the car. Yeah, if you're driving.
And how long I've been driving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you drive for like some hours, then you're just going to get bum ache anyway, like, because you're wherever you're sitting, even the most comfy chair in the world.
Bum ache. There's got to be a better way of saying it.
But I find that car chairs are comfortable if you're sitting in them for an hour. And I, the number of times I get out of my car after an hour and I'm like, I wish I just had this seat in my office.
Yeah. I went to a bar, sorry to completely derail.
You go for it.
I went to a bar when I was on holiday the other week, and it was like a really weird sort of almost Route 66 style bar. And they had normal seating. There was against the wall like a fake train carriage where it had like two little benches and then a TV that showed the outside view of a train.
Nice. Okay.
And then all along the bar, they had these like really deep leather seats that were taken from a car and just put along the bar. And it was so comfy. You could just sink into those bad boys. Mm. It was amazing. Sorry, Ashton.
Did you buy a car seat?
So I buy a car seat to sit on while I play my Bitcher mm-hmm. games. Probably upgrade to some pretty spicy good VR headsets that are out there. Probably go for the ones that have like the sensors that you put around the room. And then I'd probably just buy all of the PlayStation 5 games I have in digital in physical copy, because I don't have a physical copy of Horizon or God of War. Mm. And I would like those at some point, but I can't justify buying it again right now. Mm. And then because I'm a good girlfriend, probably buy my boyfriend PlayStation 1 and as many classic games as he likes, because we've already got a bunch of those on the shelf. That he, gradually every time I go back to Leicester, there's another one. So why not just get him as many as he wants, so I can be like, hey.
And a special room to put them in.
Yeah, yes. Special boy room where he could put all of his PlayStation 1
games.
No stinky girls allowed. So yeah, and I probably would buy some of my DS back and buy a bunch of DS games.
The same DS.
I will find the DS that I had and I will pay for it. Or maybe I still have it. I'll buy a charger for it because I can't find my charger.
I've got like six DS chargers if you want. Because every time I go to charge my DS, I think I've lost it and I'm if you need one, let me know.
Cool. But yeah, that's probably what I do. I don't have a specific like retro console that I'd necessarily bother buying, but I'd probably just put the money into upgrading everything I currently have.
Nice. I'd do something similar, I think. Get the biggest, most ridiculous television that I could find. Mm-hmm. And then maybe buy a Series X, because I've got a Series S and already got a Switch. We've got a Switch. And that would pretty much be me sorted for modern stuff, I think. No amount of money would suddenly make me into PC games. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'd bother on that front. And if I got a VR headset, it would probably get as much playtime as my existing headset. So I can't, even with all the money in the world, I would literally be buying it to just put somewhere for no reason. And speaking of buying things to put somewhere for no reason, I'd probably try and complete my Game Boy collection as well. Mm. All of the different variants from around the world.
Do you have a list of like the ones you haven't got yet?
Well, my
spreadsheet.
The problem with collecting is that you start off with one goal and then you achieve it. And
no
then,
collection is ever complete.
And then exactly. And then you start to find other things. So I've got all of the original colors of Game Boy Colors, but then it expanded to, oh, there are some Pokemon variants. Oh, there are even more Pokemon variants in other parts of the world.
Right.
Oh, other parts of the world have special ones. Like we had obviously the sort of transparent purple. Mm. Shell Game Boy Color. There's all sorts of different colors around the world.
Was that a UK exclusive?
Not necessarily UK exclusive, but that's the equivalent of the stuff that's around the world. So there's all sorts that I've got a Hello Kitty Game Boy Color that I got from Japan. It's not boxed though, but just all sorts of weird stuff. I'd have to buy loads of those bloody display cabinets from IKEA. And you know what? I would pay someone to build them for me because they never fit quite right.
Yeah.
No.
And when you're working with a lot of glass, it's a bit nerve wracking.
You could always just buy like a custom built one.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. I could, but the problem
because you'd
is,
have £1 million.
I have £1 million. The thing is, right? I don't want a display case that's like most like has space in it. So I'd have to. It would be a
if
vicious
it's custom
cycle.
Built, you could be like, hey.
Well, it would be a vicious cycle because when it was full, then I wouldn't be able to put more stuff in. But if there's loads of room in it, it wouldn't look as nice. So I just have to keep buying things. That's the problem. But
yeah, but you got a Millie. You got a cool Millie.
Cool Millie. Yeah. That's what I'd do. I think I'd complete my nostalgia. Maybe buy boxed versions of their Game Boy Pokemon games on Game Boy Advance as well, because I don't know.
It was funny. Like, I look at that, I'm like, $1 billion is a lot of money. But the other week, someone won the Euro Millions, which is $186 million pounds. And the week after, it was only like $30 million. I was like, I'm not entering the lottery. It's only $30 million. It's like nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
The week before that, someone won $2 billion in America somewhere.
Jesus Christ.
It's the first time it's ever been a prize like that has ever been won.
$2 billion. Yeah. Can you even imagine? You can't.
No.
You can't. Amazon.com. Should we move on to a new section?
Yeah.
That we've not done.
I think we should.
Before. What's it called, Peter? Can you help me out?
It's called What We Play In.
It's what we play in time. Time to talk about what we've been playing. Now, a few of the things that we will be talking about this week will have been quip-scoped. Review Corner was debuted last week, obviously, and as we said at the time, we're transitioning into Review Corner, but there will be nothing in the Review Corner section this week. Everything is available on the quip-scopes that's new, so go watch those or listen to them if you want to find out more information. Peter, what have you played this week?
Hardly anything.
Okay.
I'm just all the time. The house is basically done now, except we need wardrobes and we want to replace our sofa. And we're probably going to try and get a new TV on like Black Friday.
But, nice.
You know, so actually there's still a lot to do, but we've done the most of it. The most of it.
Yes.
I did, at the tail end of last week, so after the podcast, I did finish what I was doing in Spyro 2, which is establishing that I can complete the game without gliding.
Excellent.
So I'll stream that at some point. It'll probably be a very long stream, but that's the idea. So sometime in December, probably, that'll be happening. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I don't think I've had the time to play anything at home since then. What did I stream this week? The first part of King Kong. Peter Jackson's King Kong on PS2.
Austin's Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yeah, well, that was the... lots of people said that in the chat.
So original.
The stream was called Tiny Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Brilliant. Yeah. Or something. Brilliant. Okay.
Really good game, actually. It's one of the best movie tie-in games ever made. Frequently gets kind of top three in lists like that. So I'm enjoying that. But yeah, the idea was to play God of War this week, but I've just not had chance. I'm hoping this weekend I will get an opportunity. But to be honest, I'm a bit worried that I might now, this might be the game that proves to me that I just don't want to play big games anymore or don't have time to.
Oh no.
Or certainly not a lot of them. There are at least two or three games coming out next year that I definitely will want to play of that kind of scale. But yeah, I think I just have that little time that I know about the menus. I know about that, like, you enter areas and there's just loads of side stuff to do.
There's one specific area that has no main missions in it, just side quests.
Yeah.
And it took me practically all of Sunday to finish.
Which is great. And that used to be...
But you don't have to do it.
No, you don't. You don't. So maybe I will just play it and kind of really... not stop to smell any roses at all. But, you know, that's all good. And that used to be my favorite kind of genre, you know, like to have, not just to have loads of side stuff to do, because you could say the same about like an Ubisoft game, but to have a game that has a focused story and is essentially linear in that sense, but does allow you to just branch off and do stuff on the way. And now I just don't have time. I just don't have time. So... we'll see. I'm going to try and give it a go and see how it's going and like if I feel like I'm making enough progress through it over the weekend. But yeah, that's where I'm at now. I'm on a bit of a crossroads here. Like, what's going to happen? But that's me. I played some Spyro and King Kong this week. Ashton?
I played God of War pretty much all week. I finished it on Monday night. It took me 36 hours to get to the end of the game.
That's not as bad as I was expecting.
No, but I'm still playing it now, finishing off the kind of like post-game stuff and getting everything 100%. And I really loved this game. I finished it and I just messaged my boyfriend being like, I love this game. This game is so good. It made me laugh. At one point I had to pause the final battle because one of the characters said something that actually made me laugh out loud and I couldn't stop laughing and I was trying to fight the final boss. It probably wasn't that funny. Just it took me by surprise that's why it made me laugh. And it made me cry. Sometimes not even when it was sad. If Kratos was being a good dad, I just started crying. Just set me off.
He's come so far.
I was maybe being a bit hormonal to play this game this week as well because I was like, oh, but he's such a good dad. I really loved this game. I think it ended so well. There's definitely a bit of bloat and I can see why people kind of didn't like think it all needed to be there. Like I said, there's one whole area that's literally just side quest stuff that hasn't got any main quest stuff in it. You literally don't ever have to go to, and that took me all of Sunday to finish before the end of the game. So I really love this game. I think they've done a really good job with it, and I'm happy to just continue playing it. I've put it on like the easiest difficulty now just to finish all the kind of like battles that you have to do against bosses and stuff, just because I feel like Kratos should be winning all these battles anyway.
I get it. I can't begrudge anyone doing that, because I'd probably do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I did all the story on the difficulty I played it in the entire time, and then I just have literally last night was like getting my ass kicked by this certain, they're called berserkers, and they're like one of the additional things you could do in the maps. And I just was like, I can't be asked to get my ass kicked by these guys over and over again. I'm just going to put it on easy and beat them up as quick as I can. So that's what I've done. But yeah, I really enjoyed this game, and not spoilers, but it's definitely up there, one or two of my game of the year this year.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Exciting. You also played, well, it wasn't this week, but Deliver Us Mars, right?
Yes, yeah, last week. Frontier Foundry invited us over, virtually anyway, to play some of their new game, Deliver Us Mars. I talked about it on Quipscope. It goes out on Wednesday if you want to check that out, to hear more about what I thought about it and see some gameplay. But yeah, it's pretty good. I only got to play like an hour and 45 minutes of it, so I didn't get to experience too much, but looks good so far.
Excellent. When you said it goes out on Wednesday, was it Wednesday just
Wednesday
got?
Just got.
Okay, thank God. I thought we'd broken about
it. No, Wednesday. That's why I didn't mention it last week, because technically we played it last week, but
yes.
Couldn't talk about it yet.
Give it a look. It was one of the standout titles from one of Jeffrey's showcases this year or last year. It looked kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I have played the tiniest amount of Warzone 2.
Oh.
I went to a friend's house over the weekend, so I didn't get a lot of God of War time, but our intention was to play Warzone 2 because that was the group of friends that I played Warzone with during lockdown. So lugged the PS5 down there and like a small TV and set it up, and now I'm hearing that potentially the lag is just a thing that everyone is experiencing.
Right.
But certainly, I think to a degree, my friend's internet could not handle the amount of bandwidth that was required of it. And it was like stuttering like crazy. The opening sort of cinematic where you're in the plane and then you get ready to jump out, it was like freezing and go, like the character models were jiggling around.
Right.
Good.
I jumped out of the plane and you're meant to go straight into the freefall animation. I had like my fists up like I was going to box the sky for a brief period. And when I was down on the ground, I was shooting at people that just weren't there anymore. Like I would shoot at them and then they would teleport like 10 feet behind me. Like some sort of anime ninja. It was unplayable. I am choosing to put that down more to my friend's internet, but I have since heard that there's a lot of lag going on. So I'm looking forward to giving that a go on my internet when there's not four PlayStations trying to access it at the same time. So I didn't get a lot of God of War time. I played a little bit last night, like an hour or so. I'm maybe 17, 18 hours in at the moment. And having played Pokemon Scarlet, which is the other thing I've been playing this week, all weekend practically, just because I had it in Switch mode and I was able to play it at my friend's, I was kind of like thinking, I can't really be bothered to go back to God of War, sort of for the reasons Peter was saying. Like, Pokemon Scarlet is, I'm really enjoying it, and it's sort of, it's kind of a chill game. And I don't have to engage my brain all that much to play it. And the idea of going back to God of War after a little break was kind of off-putting. But I'm glad I did, because then I got really back into that. And then I played Pokemon Scarlet a tiny bit last night in bed. And
you thought, this is boring.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it completely switched, especially because God of War runs at 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Scarlet, as we'll talk about later, does not run very well at all.
No.
And so that was a really jarring transition. But there's a Quipscope about Pokemon Scarlet, in spite of the technical issues, which we'll discuss later. I am really enjoying that game. And there's a complete tonal dissonance between that and God of War. So they're quite hard to juggle, because I feel like I'm going 100 miles an hour and then going 5. So I will keep playing both, and I intend to finish them, hopefully. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Mm.
I do think you guys should definitely finish God of War.
I'm going to finish God of War.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
It made my boyfriend well up, and I've never seen that man cry. So,
Hey,
it's good to have something going for it.
It's an emotional game.
It is. Time for question two.
Question two.
It comes from Cameron Keywood. Hidedly ho, Bapperinos. Sony has put a foot down with the shovelware and easy platinums or trashinums that have flooded the PlayStation store recently. I don't mind some of these games, as with job hunting and personal projects, they are all I sometimes have time to play. Now that Sony have tried to curb it, do you agree, or are you the opposite opinion that everyone is entitled to their own platinum proclivities? Kind regards, Cameron J. Keyword. Thank you, Cameron.
I agree that everyone is entitled to their own platinum proclivities, but I mean, this certainly doesn't, obviously it doesn't affect me directly anyway, because number one, I'm not a platinum hunter, and number two, whether or not I'm a platinum hunter, I also don't play the sort of shovelware games. I imagine if you're not a platinum hunter, there's probably no reason to play them whatsoever. Unless, you know, in Cameron Keyword's case, you know, you're very busy. Maybe you only have time for some little bite-sized bits.
Or you want to show your friends them when they come round. Do you want to show your friends them when they come
round? The platinums?
Yeah. No, the trash
the games.
Shovelware
games. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Need to share them with the world.
But, I mean, personally, I believe that platinum hunters should, you know, be allowed to play what they want and get platinums if they want to.
I fully thought you were going to say, I think they should get a life.
Yeah, should be publicly executed. I think so. Well, what my point is that I don't think what the status quo was before this, I don't think it needed to be reacted to. I don't think like Sony or anyone else needed to look at platinum hunters getting easy platinums and say, we can't stand for that. Now, I think Sony are partly just probably trying to avoid a bit of bloat and kind of, you know, you could argue that the overall average quality of every game across the board available for PlayStation is maybe brought down a bit when you have loads and loads of this stuff. I don't think necessarily it's them saying we specifically need to stop people getting easy platinums. Mm. But even if you just come at it from that angle, I mean, I do wonder whether, and we have a resident platinum hunter who can answer this question.
Yeah.
I do wonder whether, how much satisfaction do you gain getting, like, you know, an extra notch, an extra number, knowing that it was one where all you do is play as a pumpkin and jump up and down?
Sometimes it's not even that.
Let's divulge this psychologically.
It's, for me personally, I go through phases of wanting to get easy platinums, and they come and they go. And I used to be far more into it than I am now. It weirdly, finding an easy platinum game back in the day was like a real holy grail moment. Now that they are literally a dime a dozen, you can buy them for 25p sometimes. Yeah. It's weirdly, it makes it less appealing, even though it should never have been, for the same logic, it shouldn't have been appealing in the first place. The fact that they are so easy, that it was sort of like being able to cheat in an exam. Like, oh, did you know that there's this game for $3.99? If you get it, you can get the platinum in like 5 minutes. I've got to check this out.
Yeah.
And now it's, what day of the week is it? 20 new platinum games that you can buy for 25p have been launched on the store. I don't know. I haven't gotten an easy platinum for, I would say, a few months now. But
that's a good...
Thank you.
That's
really good. It's been a while. It's just... Yeah, it's not really, it's become less appealing as time has gone on. But as I said, it my interest in them ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
You'll never get the high of your first platinum.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's it. Like, I can't necessarily get into the mindset of whether I would find it appealing or not to find a 25p game and go, oh, there's another platinum. But ultimately, I don't care from the platinum point of view, the platinum hunting point of view, whether people are doing this or not. But I can see the logic that Sony might just think, we don't want 20 like rubbish shovelware games on our store. So from that like angle, I suppose it's fair enough that they're trying to kind of curb this. But from the anti-platinum hunting angle, I don't think there was ever a problem. Just let people do that if they want to do that, I guess.
I agree. I don't think it was a bid to stop people getting platinums.
No.
I do think it was just because there's a lot of trash on pretty much every store library nowadays. There's loads on Switch,
yeah.
There's loads on PlayStation. There's loads and loads and loads on Steam.
Yes.
And I think it's like, how do we avoid you search for God of War and you get War of God.
War Gods.
War God, Greek man or whatever. Kratos dad.
What was the name
like
of
100
that
times I don't know
Risa.
That's what I was trying to think of.
I'll try and find it.
It was something silly.
It was War Gods, wasn't it? Or
War God.
Dad of War.
Yeah.
I'll have a look.
God of Dad.
But yeah, like I think they're just trying to avoid that you search for one game and you get 100 hits of some other crap that is literally just a trash game that's made simply because it's easy and people will play it for platinums and pay someone 25p. So I do understand it. And do you know what? I'm kind of glad about it because the amount of times you go into the PlayStation library or the store and you look through for like one game, you're like, I'm looking for a new co-op game I can play. And it's just filled with just unadulterated crap. Then yeah. What was it called?
War Gods Zeus of Child.
Yes,
Zeus of Child.
There we are.
Not even Child of Zeus.
No.
Zeus of Child.
So yeah, I don't mind that they're getting rid of it. And do you know what? Top sets of Platinum Hunters, good. Get along.
Yeah, screw them. Hate it. I totally agree with you. This isn't targeting Platinum Hunters. This is long overdue. I think all platforms should do this. And mm-hmm. if other platforms do this, they're perhaps not as open about it. But this was a leaked letter. So the only reason we know about this is because Sony sent a letter to their developers basically saying, hey, you got to stop doing this or we'll ban you. We will restrict visibility of your games, blah, blah, blah. Then it gave all sorts of these, all sorts of criteria as to what would be considered sort of spamming the storefront. Lots of copy-paste games. And it even said, changing the trophy list between releases does not mean it's a new game. So clearly people have just released the same game twice, but with a different trophy list and have gotten away with it. This should have been done ages ago. The PlayStation Store, like a lot of storefronts, I really struggle with Nintendo's as well. When you search by category or just search at all, unless it's a big game, you're not going to find it very easily at all. And it's such a shame that it should be easier to find these things. And it doesn't mean that smaller developers shouldn't be allowed to use the platform, but everyone can see when someone's taking the piss.
Yeah.
And these games that we're talking about here are definitely just trying to make a quick buck, sometimes not even that. So also, I've got to wonder, again, going back to the when everybody's super, no one will be syndrome argument of the availability of these cheap platinum games. Surely the appeal of releasing a game like this is massively lost when everyone is doing the same thing. Because what are the chances that your efforts are actually going to be seen at all when there are hundreds of these games available? Now? You know, if you're one that sneaks through, then maybe you'll get the attention. But, you know, anyway, I'm glad. Quite frankly, I'm glad that it's being done. I will not miss them. I don't need them. I am strong.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I really hope Steam do it. They won't. They won't do it.
No.
But please,
too much money.
Please, God.
Having it on there.
And also, I really would like Steam to just stop. Whenever I open it, the first or second game it scrolls through being some sexy game with boobies. Because sometimes if I open it at work to look through my library before a podcast, I don't want the boys behind me to think I'm looking at cheeky games on my Steam.
You looking at cheeky games again?
No, I'm not. I promise.
Ashton Cheeky Games Matthews.
Oh, please. There's always tits on Steam homepage every single time. How do they make it to the homepage?
I don't know.
Why are they there?
I don't check Steam very often, but I've not seen the booby games.
I don't know if I've seen boobies on my homepage.
Is there a reason that you're getting the booby games?
Hey, maybe. I don't know.
Lucky you.
That's what I'm going
to having a booby game show up on your Steam homepage is a little strange. I would say
it is a bit weird. It might even make the news. It's such a strange thing.
It's time for weird news.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can send us weird video game news on social media platforms. Earlier in the week, we record on a Thursday. If you want to guarantee that you get a shout out in the weird news section, though, you need to go to
patreon.com/teamtriplejump.
Thank you.
And it's not subscribe. Support us at a certain tier. And you can be a podcast producer just like
Nathan,
G.Y. Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Volko,
Nicole Hansen,
Ellie Nicholas,
Erica Hutchinson,
Melody L. Bonet,
Katie Garrett,
and Gabrielle Philipping.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, Ashton.
That's okay. Got you back.
Yes, you do got my back. Peter, you got our weird news.
I got our weird news. It is here. It was sent to us by Jonathan Wong on Facebook and Johnny Mac at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter.
Mm.
You can send them to us on both.
Two Johns.
Yes. This is according to gamingbible.co.uk, so it must be true.
Yes, it's got to be true.
Sorry, Gaming Gospel. Then
on
it would be true.
God.
It's written by Catherine Lewis, two first names, who says... And I'm sorry to even bring this, actually, because...
I thought, I'm not going to bring this.
Yeah, it was a bit of a dry week for weird news. And I thought this was maybe... I knew which two headlines you two had bagsied. And I thought, okay, this is the next best one. But you'll see why I'm reluctant to even read it.
Okay.
Peter, as in P-E-T-A, slams God of War Ragnarok's violence against imaginary animals. They're at it again. All they do is they intentionally say stuff to make the headlines so that they can then say, hey, we're
that's
Peter.
That's not all they do. They also kill pit bulls because they believe...
They kill a lot of healthy animals. Peter is terrible.
Yeah.
Petta is terrible, not Peter.
Mm-hmm. Peter Austin is terrible.
And yeah, you're right. The only reason they ever do this stuff is to sensationalize things and make the news, and then they get more publicity and press, and I hate it.
It does say here...
Thanks, Peter, for bringing this one along.
Cheers, Peter.
Yeah, it does say, spoiler warning, this article contains mild spoilers for God of War Ragnarok. I think it basically specifies that there is an animal character in there.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I will read it slowly.
Do you want me to scan through it to see if there's any major spoilers? Because I've not read it.
What if Ashton reads your weird news and you read Ashton's weird news?
Yeah, could do.
Yeah? I mean, I'll just hold your phone if you want.
Yeah.
That's okay with you. You're not going to get any cheeky messages.
Ashton's weird news is from those people.
Yeah. Stop messaging me. My phone keeps buzzing. God of War Ragnarok has a spectacular launch. After its onslaught of overwhelmingly positive reviews, it came as no surprise to see Kratos' latest adventure nominated for multiple Game Award categories, including Game of the Year. That's just about what Game of the Year is, never mind. However, not everyone is happy. As reported by The Gamer, animal rights organisation Peter has taken to Twitter to ask Santa Monica Studio to make a Peter mode so that Ragnarok can be played without violence to animals.
I like the idea of a Peter mode where they cut all the side stuff out so Peter Austin can enjoy
it. Oh, yeah. I'd play it. Yeah.
I'd play that Peter
a lot quicker then.
So basically, without spoiling it, there's a big dog in the game at one point, and it's in Helheim, which is the cold realm. And they basically say that it's not fair that they've left the freezing dog, or the dog out in the freezing cold.
The mythical dog.
Yeah.
Right.
And
it's well adapted.
It's chained up in deplorable conditions, enduring the cold ravages without any shelter. It says all dogs deserve loving homes and warm couches, even if they're 60 feet tall. I'd also like to say, Peter, if you've played the game, you wouldn't be complaining about things like this. Silly.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, obviously, goes without saying that when it comes to real dogs, they should always be given, this is the article now, should always be given warmth, shelter and food. However, given that this is a fictional mythological wolf we're talking about, I can understand why people are a bit baffled.
How come gamingbible.co.uk is better able to distinguish between real and not real dogs than animal charity PETA?
Also,
you think they would sort of know that?
Also, if they're going to be annoyed about something, mm-hmm. very early on in the game, you leave two baby bears to die in the winter.
Okay.
And you also beat up a bear. So if they're going to get upset about anything, they could get upset about the actual animal violence that does happen at the beginning of
the
game.
Well, why aren't they taking a swipe at Pokemon again?
I think they want to be as ridiculous as possible. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to give them any more oxygen than they deserve. No. They suck.
Honestly, I would not have brought that story along if there had been any other. I know there were other weird news submissions, but sometimes they're not weird enough.
Here you go.
I don't mind. If you want to read your story.
No, you go ahead. Okay. I read yours.
This is fun.
It's from Nexus Polaris.
Okay.
I'm going to read. Billy can read my story.
Yeah.
And it's according to Kotaku.com. Warzone 2.0. Players, Warzone 2 players, think they're being killed by invisible foes.
Oh.
Ghosties.
Written by Ethan Gack or Gatch. The pesky Call of Duty Warzone bug has resurfaced in the upgraded version. We're less than a week into the life of Warzone 2, an upgraded version of the hit free-to-play Battle Royale spin-off for Call of Duty, and players already think they're dying at the hands of invisible opponents. Mm. While Activision hasn't officially acknowledged the potential bug, players are already swapping tales of the dreaded glitch's return. Warzone is no stranger to invisibility exploits, with the game's developers playing whack-a-mole with the issue over the past couple of years. As such, Warzone 2 players are already well-primed to believe their failed campaigns and early deaths are due to nefarious forces outside of their control. The video evidence so far, however, certainly seems to suggest something weird is going on. Streamer XSet Super Evan via Rock Paper Shotgun.
Sick name.
Sounded the alarm on Twitter over the weekend with footage showing him downed on the top of a building without any opposing player in sight. The kill cam, however, went on to show someone opposite him just as he was coming up the ladder, who should have been in plain sight, but wasn't. Other players went on to share their own screenshots and clips, and then there are some embedded in the article. Several players have been doing the same on Reddit. Some even claimed to be invisible themselves.
Oh!
With opponents running past them and no clear idea of how the glitch had occurred in the first place. That would certainly seem to point to there being an invisibility bug, even if the existing list of known issues provided by Activision doesn't yet acknowledge one. However, other players are convinced the invisibility is the result of external hacks and cheats.
Oh, no.
Rather than an in-game exploit. The rest is probably going to be filler.
Imagine being like, you know, it's a hack or cheat, and being on Reddit like, yeah, I'm the invisible.
I'm invisible. Thank you, Ashton.
That's okay, Peter.
Why would people want to be invisible in Call of Duty to cheat to win? Why would people want to buy a 25p platinum game?
Yeah, well, yeah.
How can you explain these phenomena? Right. There is no explanation.
How do you get any kind of pleasure out of winning a game by being invisible? Yeah. Somehow you do, seemingly.
That's like when people like, hack a game and you're like, what? It's just not fun for you because you're just sat there flying.
You mad?
In the sky.
You salty? You mad?
Yeah, I am mad.
If you're reading my profile, you've already lost and I've won. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
That joke's on you. I can't read.
My weird news is from Push Square. This is news from today, actually, at the time of recording.
Breaking news.
If it has been submitted or if it had been reported elsewhere before this morning at the time of recording and submitted by someone on social media. I apologize. I did not see it because I saw this morning, shortly after getting into work. This is Push Square, written by Kale Adam. Splinter Cell is getting a BBC Radio 4 adaptation.
What? I did not see. I mean, this has not been submitted. I can tell you that.
There must be something about Splinter Cell in the air at the minute. The people are demanding more Sam Fisher, and by Jove, capitalized Jove, they are going to get it. A new audio adaptation officially titled Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Firewall is imminent and will begin airing on BBC Radio 4 on the 2nd of December and every Friday after at 2:15 p.m. running for 30 minutes apiece.
Okay, so it's based on... Is Splinter Cell based on a Tom Clancy book or is it just Tom Clancy's video game Splinter Cell?
I don't know if there was a Tom Clancy book called Splinter Cell.
Should I Google it?
Yeah, have a look. There may well have been, but certainly it seems to be, from the description I'm about to read, in line with the games. Or at least the characters.
I love how often Splinter Cell and Sam Fisher shows up in stuff.
In not a
like,
game.
Yeah, as like bonus characters or like adverts, tweets and things. But they refuse to make one.
Mm.
Make an actual game.
Starring Adonis Antony, which Whoa. Is a great name.
Wow, that's his real name.
Adonis Antony
wow.
as Sam Fisher, a veteran of BBC Radio 4's long-running rural drama.
That sounds like Sam Fisher is a veteran of
the Starring Adonis Antony as Sam Fisher, a veteran of BBC Radio 4's long-running rural drama The Archers, and Daisy Head as his daughter Sarah, the plot will revolve around Fisher recruiting and training the next generation of fourth echelon agents.
It
talks about some concept art for the new game and asks what we think about the adaptation of the Splinter Cell doodah. What you got?
Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell is a sequel to the first Splinter Cell series video game and is the first Splinter Cell novel to be published. So they wrote a novel after the game came out because the novel was released in 2007.
Okay.
Well, no, 2004, sorry. And it was written by David Michaels.
Okay.
Oh no, Raymond Benson, writing under the pseudonym David Michaels.
Okay.
But so, not Tom Clancy.
No, not Tom Clancy. No.
Okay.
Seems a strange thing to turn into an audio drama. I mean, admittedly, I'm not particularly, I don't have the, what's the word? I'm not a connoisseur for audio dramas. I've listened to a couple and some of them probably are quite sort of dramatic and they can paint a picture of a, you know, thing like it just seems a very visual scenario, Splinter Cell, you know, a stealthy game. Like the whole point is he's quiet, isn't he? Is it just going to be him in silence?
Just him breathing
as he turns.
Yeah,
his...
that's it. Just a little whine.
And yeah. It's just the daughter being like, "Dad, watch out while you crawl along the ground.
Yeah,
and shoot those men in the in the face." And just she's just commentating.
Did you get him in the face? I sure did. I shot him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ow, my face.
My face.
Yeah, I don't... This will be interesting. I have... I mean, the Ubi machine is rolling, clearly. I am wondering if this was maybe meant to coincide with the planned release date of some Splinter Cell thing that's just not ready, that's been pushed, like the remake, although apparently only concept art has been shared of that. So who knows why we're getting this now? It seems very strange.
Yeah.
But 2nd of December, tune in to BBC Radio 4 if you want to
I mean, BBC do... Ooh.
Was that your jaw? Oh, God.
Ashton's jaw just clicked.
BBC do some pretty good audio dramas, apparently. Doctor Who ones have always got really good reviews from a lot of people. So, I mean, Splinter Cell and Doctor Who are not the same thing, but... Hey.
Well, also, I don't think the Doctor Who ones are, other than the fact that the BBC own Doctor Who, they're done by Big Finish, aren't they? Who
Maybe, yeah.
I think they're not necessarily part of the BBC at all, which is why Christopher Eccleston will actually do the audio dramas, because they're not BBC. But yeah, I don't know. See how that is received.
Well, that's our weird news. It's time for question three.
It's from Rock Reese, who says, "Hey, Bap. This year, I went from never having a battle pass in games to having two for two different games."
Wow.
"As I love multiverses, and I've always been an avid Overwatch player, full stop." "Two for two different games, as I love multiverses and have always been an avid Overwatch player. However, the monetization in Overwatch is hilariously bad. £25 for a skin. I'm sure none of us are strangers to spending more money on games, but we are all quite resistant at first. Do you recall the first time you ever bought DLC for a game and or the first time you regretted putting more money into a game you owned?" Thank you, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
"I sat down to do my notes for this question and I realized I cannot specifically remember ever buying DLC for a video game. So I have owned DLC through... either getting free DLC, you know, some games are like, hey, here's a massive pack, we're not going to charge for it. So I've had free DLC before. And I've also paid, if I've kind of missed the boat on a game, I've sometimes bought the versions they then subsequently release where all the DLC is packed in. So in a sense, you're paying for it there, but it's not quite the same as deciding, oh, there's a new expansion pack come out for this game, I'm gonna pay for that. So I don't know. I kind of struggle to answer this question. I don't think I'm trying to think of any way I've put money, because I don't like buying game currency for stuff either. So I don't think I've ever regretted putting money into a game that I owned, because I can't specifically remember having ever done it.
Was there an expansion for Little Nightmares 1?
There was. Mm. Did I pay for it, or did we get given it? I may have paid for it.
Code, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but certainly I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how much it was, or if I even had to pay for it, or whether it was a code. So, I don't know. I can certainly say there are. There's DLC that I have played and think, yeah, that would have been worth the money if I paid for it at the time. So, for example, the Shivering Isles expansion to Oblivion I've talked about before. I first played Oblivion. Someone lent me their copy basically indefinitely and said, you know, play it for as long as you like. And I played through the whole thing and I did a full sort of campaign and then gave it back. And then like a year or two later, when they had the version that had Shivering Isles and whatever the other one was called.
Knights of the Night.
Yes. I was like, oh, I'll buy a copy now. So, and I really enjoyed Shivering Isles, and that was well worth the money. The Little Nightmares 2 expansion as well, I really liked. Or Little Nightmares 1, sorry. So there are plenty of things I've owned where I'm sure I wouldn't have regretted it if I paid for it at the time. But the way things have fallen, I probably have paid for DLC, but I just don't remember. I certainly don't do it often enough to remember last time I did it. Ashton?
I have a few. I think the first DLC that I bought, again, probably isn't the first, but it's just the one I remember. And again, I don't know if it counts, is just getting the Borderlands 3, like, not, I don't know what it was called. It wasn't called the Season Pass, but like the edition that they basically just gave you all the DLCs on top of the game when they came out. Paid for that. And hey, I didn't regret that. I played all of it. And then also at one point, I paid for Stadia, which,
sorry,
which, you know, but also mainly just because I wanted to get the Destiny 2 season pass, because I was a bit obsessed with Destiny for like 3 or 4 months of the pandemic. And we just played Destiny like every single night. And we were like, hey, if we get it on Stadia, we just get the Battle Pass free upgrade. And there's a couple other games on Stadia anyway. So I got the Destiny 2 season pass for like 3 months with Stadia. And then as soon as I was like done with Destiny, cancelled Stadia because boring. And then the only other thing that I've actively spent money on. So it was a period of time last year that I was like obsessed with Dead by Daylight. Like I wanted to play it all the time. I'd play it with a bunch of friends, stream it quite a lot. And I just liked having these kind of like the getting the new monsters was always quite exciting, because you could just like bring out a monster in a map with a bunch of people who'd never seen that monster before, and they were just haunted by it. So I think I bought like 3 or 4 of the like additional monsters that you can get for Dead by Daylight. I bought them all when they were on sale, never paid full price for them because they were like £12, maybe more. Mm. I think I'd only ever pay like a fiver for them. But I bought a couple of those. And then I think I bought like 2 packs the last time we played Dead by Daylight, played with one of the enemies, and then just haven't played Dead by Daylight since. So I do regret buying all of those, especially because they're only on PlayStation and they're not on any of the other versions of Dead by Daylight I have. So if I want to play on PC, I can't because I haven't got all my enemies. So I have to play on PlayStation. But yeah, probably regret buying all of those the most, but not that much, because eventually when I go back and play it again, hey, I'm going to have all these monsters. So
sick.
A spooky clown.
Spooky clown.
Yeah,
spooky
clown, I own the spooky clown.
That's pretty cool.
He's pretty spooky.
He's all yours.
Yeah, all mine, just for me.
Amazing. My first DLC would have either been something for Warhawk on PS3, or certainly one of the first map packs for Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare on PS3 as well. I remember how exciting it was when those new map packs launched, like the first one. Everyone was so besides themselves because this was the game that everyone was playing on console, multiplayer wise. Like everyone was playing COD 4, and you knew the maps like the back of your hands, and that this was like the first promise of the future of console gaming. Like, oh my God, you can get a map pack? They can just add more maps? Mm-hmm. This isn't it forever? It was unbelievably exciting. And I remember it took on my parents' horrible internet several hours to download like this 80 megabyte file so I could play the DLC. So that was probably the first one of those two games. And in terms of sort of like battle passy type stuff, never bought a battle pass. No. With Warzone, a lot of my friends bought the battle pass. I had no interest in that whatsoever. Mm. But I did end up buying some COD bucks so that I could buy a like 80s rocker skin for the operator that I used all the time.
Mm.
Just so I could stand out a little bit, because I knew no one would want to run around with like hair metal, a pink hairband, and like knee-high socks. I thought that no one's going to want this skin, so I'm going to buy it. I did spend like £8 on it. And that's the only time I've ever bought a skin. And I was mocked for it, and understandably so. But that was the only money I ever put into Warzone, and I played it for dozens and dozens and dozens of hours. So it doesn't feel like too much of a trade-off, ultimately.
I've never committed to a game for enough time where I thought, I need the season pass. Like, yeah. I'll play a game for like a week when I'm obsessed with it, and then something else will happen, and I'm no longer interested even a little bit.
Mm.
But actually, that does sound like something I would buy a season pass for, and then be like, oh, why am I still paying for this 3 months later? And be like, well,
I have a real weakness for customizing my output, like how I look in a game.
Yeah.
Like if you put that behind a paywall, I'm going to be really tempted, especially if it's a game that I'm interested in, just to look a little bit different.
Really? That's probably the thing, yeah. I would be least likely to spend money on personally. I'm always happy to, when there are free options to customize your character, I really enjoy it. But then, yeah, I kind of feel like, because you can't even see yourself in a lot of games, so I think like I'm not even going to enjoy this myself. Like,
that's true.
You know, my nice fancy outfit.
But everyone else who kills me,
yeah,
will be like, wow, cool shoes.
What
man.
A cool guy.
But this is seriously, it's a thing that really follows me from game to game. Like even Pokemon Scarlet, I've been going around all the clothes shops just buying.
I didn't think there
shoes.
Was any clothes shops in the new.
There
game.
Are. There's a lot of clothes shops, but it took me ages to realize because you have to wear your school uniform for the whole game.
Mm.
Right.
So even though in all the clothes shops and on the customization menu there's a tab for your top and your trousers, you can't actually buy any new ones.
Cool.
So I went around looking for ages trying to find tops, and I couldn't. So I customized my shoes, my gloves, my headwear, my sunglasses, my backpack, and now I'm set. But that's always a weird priority for me. And it's not the same for everyone.
I'm very much like, the first thing I want to do in a game is find out how I can change the way I look.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in Borderlands or Wonderlands, straight to the customization thing. Every time, just a bit different.
Yeah.
I'll definitely do it for, it's just that I wouldn't spend money on it, but I used to be really obsessed with my armor and stuff in Halo.
Okay.
Halo 3. And then you could be an elite as well. And so you'd change your head and body, and you would slowly unlock stuff. Yeah, your mandibles. And there were people who would have a helmet that was on fire running around. And I think everyone who worked on the game had that immediately. And I think you could also unlock it by just being an absolute pro.
So they were like celebrities in game.
Yeah.
Like,
or possibly, maybe that was also, you could pay for it. But I don't know if there were any actual microtransactions. It wasn't really called that back then. But yeah, I don't think there were microtransactions for that game. Maybe there were. But yeah, you would see these special people running around. And you were like, they're either Bungie or really good at the game.
Could be both.
Yeah.
Could be both. Mm-hmm. It's time, everybody, for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion this week. Comes courtesy of Conroy Milk. Mr. Milk. Hello, BAP. It seems the newest Pokemon games have gotten off to less than a stellar launch, with many people sharing videos of issues ranging from low FPS and graphical issues to a bug that lets you move at double speed by plugging in a second controller and using both controllers at once. I was not aware of that one. Now, full disclaimer, I haven't played the games myself as I don't own a Switch, so can't comment as to how frequent or impactful these issues are. Why do you think the game was allowed to launch in this state? Do you feel like the devs were being pushed to meet a deadline? The team just wasn't big enough, as according to sources, Game Freak only employs 169, nice, people total. Or do you think there were further underlying issues in this case? I've also seen some people try and place the blame on the Switch hardware. However, given that games like Breath of the Wild run with minimal issues, I personally don't see this being the case. Thanks again, Mr. Milk.
Thank you, Mr. Milk. This morning when I was on Kotaku, their like top story on their homepage was that Pokemon Scarlet and Violet have been the fastest selling games in Nintendo's history. Mm-hmm. They've sold 10 million copies in the last 3 days. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think these bugs have impacted it that much.
No.
It's had a pretty decent launch.
Doesn't mean they should get away with it.
No,
but,
it doesn't.
But yeah, like it's the just, well, it's not quite as egregious, I would argue, as the GTA trilogy was.
No, it's not.
But they, you know, the Take-Two bigwig basically said, well, doesn't bloody matter because we sold 5 billion of them. So whatever.
I certainly don't think, as Conroy Milk says, I don't think it's a hardware issue, I wouldn't have thought, unless it's just been really badly optimized. Like, I imagine, yeah, you've got a piece of hardware that can run Breath of the Wild, but if you're a really bad developer, then it's possible to make a simple game not run well on it. But it's not that, it's not limitations of the hardware. Mm. And I'm sure also that the team is competent enough to not have just coded it really badly. So I don't think that's the problem. I think it's just probably been rushed out to meet a deadline, although it's a slightly weird deadline. Like, I could imagine, well, maybe I was going to say in a couple of weeks' time, it would be like, well, maybe they want it done in time for Christmas. But I suppose things that are done in time for Christmas are actually done in time for around now. Mm. I know it's still like a month away, but yeah, it basically, maybe that is one of the things they wanted to do. Have it done in time that kids can hear about it, and if they've not got it by Christmas, they can be asking for it. So that's a good thing to do. But other than that, I think also it's possible that this is just kind of the mentality we're at now, where games don't have to be as rigorously tested and as perfect as they used to be. It's something we've complained about many times on previous podcasts, you know, just sort of moaned like old people that,
oh, well, when I had a PS1, the game had to work before they released it.
It didn't run very well or look very good or was very demanding.
Exactly. So nowadays, not only was there a lot more going on with video games from a technical standpoint, and so there's a lot more that can go wrong, but you also have an online network by which the developers or publishers can release a patch. So that, I think, the fact that it's more technologically advanced makes it more likely for things to go wrong, and the fact that we now have online connectivity on our consoles means it's more easily fixed. And those two things together probably make it more likely that things go out like this. Doesn't make it okay, though, because they will have known full well, okay, this is broken, we're going to have to fix this. But, you know, you only need to look at a couple of other games recently, Cyberpunk being one. Fallout 76. All right, that's not that recent, but you know, that was a particularly egregious one. Saints Row is pretty buggy. Far Cry as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To know that this is just kind of the way that a lot of big games are done now, and it's annoying. I mean, I don't think it's actually any more complicated than that, unfortunately. But I don't know specifically about this case that well. Maybe there was some very specific internal issue that, you know, caused this.
I think it's weird that they rushed to get this game out before the end of the year. I know obviously it's Christmas is coming up, but we've already had a Pokemon game this year, and I don't really follow Pokemon that closely at all. And I didn't even know there was another one coming out this year until it came out, and then it was just rubbish in terms of the way it ran. So I just feel like the only people that push this out are the publishers and the devs, not necessarily the devs, but definitely the publishers, to get it out before Christmas. But I don't think it needed to go out before Christmas. I think had it come out in the new year and been a working game, probably would have done just as well. But I do think that the issue is, like what Peter says, because they can, they don't mind as much if it goes out broken because they can fix it. Whereas if you're just putting a game out and you know it, you know, I have no way of touching this after it goes out. That's done. Once it's done, it's done. Then probably wouldn't have gone out for a little while. But because they know, well, you can probably fix it by the time Christmas comes around. So, you know, the kids are getting it for Christmas. They will never have to experience these bugs. These parents won't get annoyed when
they're too stupid to know what a bug is.
Yeah, exactly.
They think it's a feature that you can plug two controllers in and run at double speed.
It's cooperative.
They like it when the Pokemon trainers just start skidding along the floor lying down. I think it's just a, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I think it's
a disservice?
Yes, to devs and players. I think it's really bad that they've been allowed to release it like this. I think it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths who maybe love Pokemon franchise and have their game that they've been excited for broken, basically. I know that you haven't had too many bad bugs, but I've definitely seen people who say that like they basically can't get through a battle without the game crashing, and seen lots of visual bugs, some of which are funny, which is great, but there's only so many times you can be like, haha, that's funny, before you're like, wow, this game runs like
I paid
crap.
Money for this.
Yeah, I paid actual real life money for this game. And unfortunately, I think that they're just going to get away with it the same way that Cyberpunk basically did. I know that they did have some repercussions, but since then, we've had a massive resurgence in Cyberpunk. They've pretty much tripled their player base in the last 3 months, and no one cares that they've done that because the game works now. Saints Row obviously didn't release very well, and still no one thinks it's a very good game, but it has a decent-sized player base. People bought it. Some people bought it, at least. And so they didn't kind of have any repercussions for it. GTA Trilogy, again, released, didn't work. They got a slating for it publicly, but does that matter? No, they've already got your money. They don't care. They've done it now. So I can't see them like apologizing for how broken it is. I think that maybe Pokemon forced Game Freak to put this out before they were ready. Given that it's a quite a small studio, I don't imagine that they would have just released it because it puts a bad taint on their name. So maybe Pokemon was the issue and not Game Freak, but you know, we'll never know exactly what happened. But I do think that this was a case of get it out now. What doesn't matter what it looks like, we'll fix it when it's done. We'll do it live. And just
flip it.
So
I think it's such a shame, genuinely, because of the reasons stated in the Quipscope. I think this is one of the most engaging and enjoyable Pokemon games I've played in years, and I really, really like it. I personally wouldn't put it on the same level as a Cyberpunk, because while there are issues with it, I don't think they're anywhere near as bad necessarily. But there are some caveats to bear in mind there. Obviously, I didn't pay for my code. It was a review code. So I haven't invested money in this. The bugs that I have had have been minimal. I had my first crash last night, and that's the only crash I've had so far. And yeah, the frame rate is terrible. But as I said in the Quipscope, it's sort of like a baseline level of rubbishness that you sort of tune it out after a while. Like, it's not acceptable, as you said, Peter. It doesn't make it okay that it was shipped in this state, but you can get used to it, and I have gotten used to it. It was particularly jarring coming from God of War and going to that. But in my experience, I've not had any major problems whatsoever. It's literally just been the frame rate and one and a lot of pop-in, sorry, and then the one crash. I've not had any of these glitches. I was not aware about the controllers thing.
That's great.
Because that is really funny. But yeah, as you said, Ashton, they really have done themselves a disservice here, because this was... This is a really good Pokemon game. It's just the technical issues that are holding it back. And I know, obviously, that all the changes that they've made in the game itself will not necessarily gel particularly well with the hardcore Pokemon crowd who expect a certain thing. But as someone who's been a very long-time Pokemon game fan and has lapsed over the years, this has really got me engaged again. And it's such a shame that the conversation is all about these issues. And I don't believe that it's necessarily to do with the Switch hardware. Having a more powerful Switch, of course, would help things. But as you said, Peter, if the game's not well optimized, then it's going to run like crap wherever you put it. It just feels like, a lot of the reviews have said, it just feels like they didn't finish the game, in that the game is there fully ready, but in terms of content, but it's just not been polished and there's not been enough bug fixing time. It shouldn't have shipped in this state. And it kind of makes me sad. I really do hope that patching will allow them to fix a lot of these issues. There's a way I saw to reliably just get as many and duplicate shiny Pokemon as you want, in that if you find one in the wild and then you walk into town and then save it and quit and then come back or something and you've caught it already, it will still be in exactly the same place, in that the Pokemon don't refresh.
Good.
So people have found a way to just catch unlimited shinies when they encounter one in the wild. Man, it's such a shame. It really is. I don't think it's so easy, as with all of the buggy game launches that we've had this year, to dunk on it from afar. And it is, sometimes it's fun to do that. Hey, look at this stupid screenshot. I don't think it's representative in this case of the quality of the rest of the product, but
which is a shame because it is, they get like it's being so much overshadowed by the fact that like all these bugs are happening and these glitches and these visual bugs that are going viral, that like people will just assume that it's a bad game because the game runs like
and
dirt.
It's affected the review scores as well. IGN gave it, I think, a 6 or something. I think it's way better than that, but I understand why it got a 6 because it doesn't run very well.
You can't
at
give the game an 8 or a 9 if it runs
you
like
can't.
Dirt.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And maybe if and when they fix these things, then review scores can be revised potentially. But I don't truly know what the reason is. I think it's most likely what you guys have said, in that they were given a hard deadline. They were working to it no matter what. If this game came out in February, it'd probably be in a much better place. And there'll be a whole load of new Switch owners out there after Christmas. So I don't know why they had to hit this deadline when clearly they knew it wasn't ready. But I just think it's such a shame. And I would urge people to give it a go as well, because if you're a lapsed Pokemon fan like me, or if the performance is putting you off, you can acclimatize to it pretty easily unless you get really unlucky and are having trainers slide along the floor and stuff like that. There's just a general lack of polish, I think, more than anything else. And I think it's it doesn't make Nintendo look very good either, because I think broadly speaking, Nintendo games usually ship with a pretty high you know, a high level of glossiness to them. You know, they're usually very well polished, and that is not the case here.
Something, I don't know if it was on TikTok or Twitter, about Nintendo, the fact that they're already issuing refunds for the game.
Wow.
And the article went out almost like the statement went out almost immediately after the game released. Like, they knew it was going to be bad, they knew it was not going to work, and they kind of just were like, well, it's going, so we'll just, if anyone wants a refund and can be bothered, we'll do it for them, but the vast majority won't bother.
It's pretty telling, isn't it? It's sold like hotcakes though, and a lot of people will get it for Christmas, and I just hope they manage to fix things, and I do hope people will give it a go, because I do personally believe this is one of the best mainline Pokemon games in years. Give it a go if you're up for it, but there's no excuse for it, quite frankly.
No,
it's such
not.
A shame. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think of everything we've discussed today. Have you got Pokemon? How are you finding it? What's your bug situation like? Because it seems to vary wildly from person to person. I think I've been very fortunate, and I'm not playing it on. I'm playing it on quite an old Switch, so not that that makes any difference necessarily.
It's
but
just occurred to me that. With the sponsor, I said, well, it had to be that because nothing came out.
No, nothing came out this week.
No major, very popular games came out this week.
Not a single one.
Nope, nothing.
Peter's going to tell you where on the internet you can find us.
YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. It's where all of our videos and live streams happen. When we're live streaming on both YouTube and Twitch, we are modded by Lob Rotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. Did you know, if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the bundle includes a Twitch sub, which you can spend on us at no extra cost, and everyone benefits from it. Do it. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump for legacy video content, little bits and bobs of news. Occasionally we'll do polls and questions and ask things on there. Asking for...
Weird news.
Weird news.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Fraser looks after Twitter and Facebook for us. Also, TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump. We are hoping to start ticking and or talking a lot more soon.
I've been given creative freedom.
Oh, dear.
What's going to happen?
If you want to see Ashton going absolutely ham with the TikTok, then head on over to @TeamTripleJump on TikTok. And Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. For lots of tiers with lots of rewards available. You can have a look at all the different ones, decide which one is right for you, and sign up to it if you like.
We're about to shoot an After Dark, which will be going out on Monday. Yeah. So if you want to check that one out, and all the other 30 episodes, then you can, because they'll be on Patreon. You go to triplej.mup, that's our website. It's triplej.mp, spells jump. It's very clever. If you want to join our Discord and chat with our wonderful community, why don't go to triplej.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it, all right? If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, why not go to triplej.mup/podcast. If you want to check out one of our live stream VODs, if you've missed one of the live streams we do during the week, why not go to triplej.mup/VODs. If you want to book a cameo from me, Ben, Peter, or James Jenkins, you can go to bulger.mup/cameo. I think the 20% off thing will have ended by now.
Yeah, there was a short-lived Black Friday sale.
But we'll wish you a Merry Christmas if you want that. If you want to buy Christmas presents for your mates, we'll do that for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, don't forget 50% off until the 2nd of December.
Off.
That's a big amount of money off. Yeah. Why not go to triplejumpshop.com and make sure you're following at triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
Yes. Oh, it's me. Why not follow Ashton and Peter on Twitter? I've done it the wrong way around. Peter and Ashton on Twitter and Instagram. Add that Peter Austin and add Scrambled Ashton and myself.
Probably could have figured it out.
Just, it's too complicated. it's just muscle memory at this point. Mm. And myself just on Twitter at confused_dude.
Me and Ashton are on Hive now as
we
well.
We are, yeah.
The same account names.
Hive. I'm using my Hive as if I'm a Facebook mom. So I posted a Minion meme the other day.
Brilliant.
Good.
So I created a Hive account. I have no intention of using it just yet, but I thought I'd get my username just in case.
Yeah, that's partly why I
that's
got mine.
Me too.
They don't allow underscores. So So I'm on there, but without an underscore.
Confused dude.
Yeah, not posted anything at all.
Sorry, mate.
And I haven't even finished my profile. But I
pretty much all I'm doing is just cross-posting.
What is Mastodon?
My Twitter's...
Nothing. I don't even know.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, yeah. You have to join a server.
I couldn't work out, there was a gaming tab and it only showed like one Portuguese server to join. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
No, I think it's a bit... like a lot of information that if you know how to use it, you know how to use it, but it's not the like easily transitioned from Twitter. Yeah.
Well, there's supposed to be, what's it called? Blue Sky or something, which is made by Jack, who did Twitter. I think he is often like that's coming out soonish and that might be a good replacement. Yeah. But we're staying on Twitter for now. Don't worry. Yeah. Everything's staying as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely. What else? Where did I get up to? Lists.
Yeah.
Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yes, streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday being the solo streams, Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, we started the Dark Pictures Anthology this week, so go check out the VOD. That should be available now on the VODs channel.
I'm really excited to play it. Yes, I've not played it yet.
Playing it today,
this
at the
afternoon.
Time of recording. Yeah, I'm beside myself.
Buzzing.
I'm vibrating, practically. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the flipping time, so come check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. Once again, the 50% Black Friday sale until the 2nd of December. Please go check it out. Everything must go. That sounds bad. That's not what I meant. But everything can go if you buy it.
Do
go and buy it. Loads of quip scopes this week. We're still waiting on confirmation of one that may go out at some point, but certainly there's one for Pokemon Scarlet, Deliver Us Mars, and Tactics Ogre Reborn.
Yeah, weird name.
You can listen to all of those. In fact, has Deliver Us Mars gone out on the podcast feed yet? It might need to be uploaded. Not sure.
I don't know.
It might be up there now. We'll check soon. There's also Worst Games Ever, Peter.
Yes, it's Conspiracy, Weapons of Mass Destruction.
Whoa.
I really enjoyed it. James Jenkins made me laugh out loud multiple times watching it when I checked it.
I'm looking forward to seeing
it. Also worth noting is that this coming week, we will be opening the tat.
I'm going to go feral. Every day I walk in the room and I look at the tat just for a couple of minutes, just to absorb the pile. And then I walk back out and I have to like clench my fists because I'm so excited.
I hate that we have to do the grace period for the late stragglers because we have to just sit and look at a pile.
Yeah.
I've got a head start on you guys. I have opened two of them so far to remove things from inside that people were... Someone sent me some Vita games that I paid... Excuse me. Oh, no, I'm getting choked up about Vita games.
Don't cry, Ben.
Someone sent me some Vita games that I paid for very kindly in their tap package, so I needed to remove those. And someone put some presents for a friend of mine, Tori, put some presents for a friend of mine in her package. And just peeking inside those two alone was pretty exciting.
I can't... It's going to take so long. I'm a bit worried that we don't even get to finish it because we're doing it on Wednesday. And last year we started at 10 a.m. We didn't finish until 7. I'm almost convinced the pile this year is bigger. So
it's certainly no smaller.
No. So excited to find out what time we'll get to go home on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Will who sent me the Vita games, by the way. Sorry, Will.
So we're opening it on Wednesday. That's not to say that the video will be out.
No. It's coming out in like mid-December, like a little while from now. But yeah, next week we are going to go into something of a sugar coma probably.
If we're really exhausted next week's podcast, you'll know why. Because we've done that.
But there'll be no Ashton stream on Wednesday next week.
No, Friday instead.
Yes, come check it out. Fantastic. Well, there's just enough time to hear about this week's sponsor once again.
Yeah, it's a football game.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's happening this week. Starring Abe and Munchie. Is Munchie's Odyssey? I don't know. Coming soon now or before.
Coming soon.
Is the Odd World Cup.
Odd World Cup.
Yeah.
It's coming home, everyone.
It is coming home.
They are called... I'll tell you what they're called. You ready? This is important note right now.
Mondays.
At the end of the podcast.
Mudlarks.
Mudlarks. Mudkips.
It was at the top, wasn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, second row down. Mud.
Where's it?
Mudox.
Mudicon. Mudicon.
Mudicons. Rubicons.
Rubicons.
Sorry,
sure.
I touched your phone.
Abe. Oh, sorry, don't touch and your phone. The other one's called like either Munch or Munchie. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Hey.
It's a real
game. Who cares?
We'll see you next time, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and look after yourselves. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.